proportion coincides, right? Because what's happening? We have the Passover lamb getting ready to go make that sacrifice for you and for me. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to see how when God does things, He doesn't just throw something out there and what do they say? You throw it up against the wall and you hope it sticks. God doesn't work that way. Because God's Word and what He says is true. And He doesn't have to throw up anything up against the wall and hope. He speaks it. It happens, right? Yeah, we need to remember that. And so, and just kind of continuing in our tradition from there, we have a couple of traditions here. We always look for in the Brit Hadashah or the New Covenant, I always look to see if there's a quote from the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Because it's important that we have that groundwork, that understanding. And there's some people that I come across and, oh yeah, we're believers. I'm a Messianic believer. Oh, you follow that old stuff. Well, I don't read that stuff anymore because we got the new stuff. What? I thought it was the all stuff because what did the Apostle Paul write? All scriptures inspired by God. When he wrote this, what was the recognized scripture of his time? The Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't even been codified yet. So if all scripture is inspired by God, and you really want to be a traditionalist that way, that means you can't accept the New Testament. But guess what? It's all written from God, is it not? It's all God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man or woman of God could be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. Yeah. You mean there's work in this relationship? You bet, because we love God, right? Yeah, exactly. It feels like all Sabbath rest. Yeah, on Sabbath, brother. But praise God. But in continuing, as we look through this, these things of the tradition and all that, there are no quotes from the Tanakh or from the Old Testament in John chapter 17 or 18. Now, there's we did read that one portion. Just like all, but he said, that wasn't a quote from God's Word. He was actually quoting himself. We're allowed to quote ourselves on occasion, right? Amen. So remember that that's not a quote. Now, some Jewish customs we see here. John 18, 20 through 21. Yeshua answered him, I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple where all Jews meet together, and I have said nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I said. These are the people who know what I said. And so, you got to remember here what's going on. First of all, it's against Jewish law to arrest somebody at night. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. And it was also against the Torah to not be able to summon the witnesses to whatever the crime was that was committed. And when we study and we look at this, even from a legal point of view, when we look at this as a court case, it was a kangaroo court, just grabbing in whoever they can find. Yeah, I saw him, It's like, oh, no, you didn't. You weren't there. You weren't listening. You don't know what's going on. They brought false witnesses. And so we note here that Yeshua was calling them out on their legal hypocrisy. But he was still going to proceed with it anyhow. Why? Because of His love, and because this has always been a part of His plan, right? It's always been a part of His plan. And then we see a couple of verses later in verse 39 of John chapter 18. But you have a custom that I released one of the prisoners, or released one person for you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? And at this point they said, no, not this fellow, Barabbas! Barabbas! And Barabbas was what? My translation, well, this one here, it says he was a revolutionary. Which means he was looking to overthrow the Roman government, and he didn't care by what means that took place. Whether it was murder, whether it was stealing, any of that. He didn't care. He didn't care. Now, one thing to note here is that there's nothing notable that's in the Torah, the Talmud, or the Mishnah that confirms or denies this custom as a Passover custom. Yeah, there's nothing there. But there are a few little hints in history with the writings of Josephus along with some other records, but there's no firm evidence or, there's no knowledge of when this tradition started. But yet the scripture says, and quoting the leader of the Roman leader of the time, he says, "This is your tradition." So, could there be a tradition? Could there not be a tradition? Could it have been a new tradition? Could it have been a tradition for the day? Who knows? We'll know for sure in the end, right? But we do know that there was somebody who was guilty who was released on that day. And what great picture of symbolism that is. Because all of us have been found guilty. And because what Yeshua Jesus did on the cross that day, we have all been released from our guilt when we accept Him as the Messiah, right? Yeah. So we're all like Barabbas, right? We can be released, which is not only God's custom, but God's intention. Amen? Amen. So, you know, those are the few little Jewish custom things that I wanted to point out. But there were some lessons that I really wanted to focus on and pick up from chapter 17 and chapter 18 about Yeshua's prayer that he prayed in the garden and also what took place during his arrest. First of all, we see the definition of eternal life in John 17:3. And this is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Yeshua, the Messiah. Eternal life only comes by knowing the true God. You know, there's an Eastern philosophy that says there are many paths that lead to the top of a mountain, right? We see that in Buddhism. Well, you know what? I can kind of agree with that. Many paths will lead you to heaven to stand before God. But there's only one path that allows you to stay there. And that's that narrow path of Yeshua Jesus. That is it. That's the only way to have eternal life. Notice it's not Yeshua Jesus and my good deeds. Or Yeshua Jesus and this, that, or the other. Yeshua Jesus and I know all these cool people. It's none of that. Eternal life is only found through God and Yeshua, Jesus. And of course, we see that problem that there are many, you know, look at all these many teachings that are out there. You know, all these different faiths. And really, you can boil down all religions in the world to two things. One religion teaches that whatever it is, that Jesus is not God and you have to do whatever they say to do to get to heaven. Right? Whether you've got to do these works, you've got to die in a jihad, you've got to, you know, do all these customs, you've got to, you know, climb up 1,000 mountains on your knees backwards when the wind's blowing at your chest. I don't know. All this weird stuff. But isn't that always the other religions? It's always Jesus is never God and you've got to work your way there. But what's the other side? That Yeshua Jesus is the one true God and we are saved by grace. Right? We've received eternal life by grace. It's not of ourselves. It's what? It's a gift. Not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast about it. And that's important because when it becomes a work to be saved, that's when we have religion. But since salvation is a free gift from God, that's when we can have a relationship. Right? And that's important that we remember that. Because then what's that next verse say in Ephesians? For we are His workmanship created for what? Created for good works. Okay, so we're saved by grace. We can't earn that. But God wants us to do some things for Him. God wants us to partner with Him. I remember one of my mentors used to tell me, he's like, "Oh, Jim, you know what? There are two things that you're going to do here on earth that you won't be able to do in heaven once you're a believer." "Oh, really? What's that?" "Well, one, you won't be able to sin in heaven because guess what? You know, all that stuff is gone." "That's cool, huh?" "Yeah." "What's the other thing you're not going to be able to do in heaven?" "I don't know. What is it?" And Dave shared with me, he goes, "You know what? The other thing you're not going to be able to do is to witness to somebody. Because everybody in heaven already knows Yeshua Jesus." He says, so let's think about it. Why? If God is all-powerful and can do whatever He wants, and this is His plan of salvation and all of that, why didn't He just say, okay, you get saved, boom, you're out of here, you're gone straight to heaven? Why did He do that? Does He want us to stay in sin? No. He wants us to stay and do those good works. Part of that is witnessing to people, discipling people, letting our light shine to people, right? That's what it's all about. And that's what eternal life is all about, is following the truth of who God is and what God wants. You know, I'm so disappointed. 84% of this country says that they are Christian. But really, what does that really mean to be Christian? Oh yeah, born in America, I'm Christian. What? It's not what God's Word says. You're not a Christian. Was actually, that term came out of Antioch, which means little Messiah. Do people in this country act like little messiahs? No. Seriously, our houses of worship would be packed if 84% of the country showed up, right? You know, they do have that tradition of Sunday worship for many. Do you think the NFL would be doing so well if everyone was in church on Sunday morning? No. Yeah, but I mean, just think about these things. Eternal life. It's a small path. And it's only through Yeshua Jesus. And it's only through His love, right? Yeah. And it's only by our relationship. Not if we know God, because guess what? Even the demons fear and tremble is what James tells us. Yeah, they know He's God. Are they going to heaven? No, because they don't have that relationship with God that's been offered to you and I. So we need to remember that. The second lesson from his prayer: when compared to those in the world, Yeshua knows that those who are His children don't belong. He knows we're going to go through a bunch of drama. He knows we're going to go through all these hard times from the world. We're not of this world, right? Yeah, John 17:16 says, "They do not belong to this world just as I do not belong to the world." And yes, it is a struggle to swim upstream. I've actually physically tried it once. I got tired. To go against the grain, right? It's not a good thing. According to the world society, you know what society says? Oh, go with the flow, succumb to peer pressure. Everyone's doing it. And Yeshua in the garden was praying for me and you that we would go against what the world wants us to do. And think about even the problems. I mean, as I kind of look around today and look at different assemblies, what are they doing? I mean, I see pictures of, you know, come as you are, and it shows some dude in like shorts and a t-shirt and a cup of coffee hanging out in an easy chair. Oh, so you just come as you are? That's not what the scripture says how we're supposed to approach God. We're supposed to approach Him with what? Clean hands and a pure heart. You know? Don't come to the assembly to get rid of all your junk. Get rid of all your junk and come to the assembly. Because for those of us who understand spiritual warfare, if you're bringing in something with you and it decides to leave, guess what? It's going to look for somebody else to hang out upon. It's going to go for its nearest victim. It's going to go for the weakest link. So get rid of that junk before you even come here. Yeah, I remember one time I worked in a house of worship, and there was a guy who was in charge of leading the worship, and he would come and, okay, we need to pray, and he'd spend a half an hour confessing all his sins. I'm like, oh, dude, you should do that before you should even get here, you know? You know, confess them before God. You know, this isn't a confessional booth. This should be a time of praise and celebration and pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, so everyone can be touched. Don't get rid of those sin things so they can just go and hide underneath the chair so someone else can sit down and pick that up. Yeah. Hat Hazel's back there going, boom, 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 boom. Just knock that stuff out. Yeah. We don't want that stuff around, do we, sister? No, not at all. Not at all. And we've got to remember, just because the world's doing it doesn't make it right. Laser beams and smoke machines, you guys know that's kind of my mantra, right? Ooh, let's go there because there's a show. You know what? We don't go there because there's a show. We go where we go because God is moving. God is working. And that's what God's Word says. It doesn't say, oh yeah, we're supposed to get all these cool stuff and pray that God joins us. God, look, we've got a smoke machine. Come on. We've got a stage. We've got a band. We've got the loudest amplifiers. Come on, we've got a show. I mean, you should see the size of our PowerPoint screen. Does God show up for that stuff? No, we are supposed to go where God's at, take our stuff with us, and join Him in the work that He has called us to do. And guess what? If you don't have the smoke machines and the PowerPoint and all of that, if God's working, you're not going to need that stuff, because all you need is the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what it's all about. But sadly, oh gosh, you guys meet in a garage. God must not be moving there. Well, goodness. Have you been to the Arabian Desert where God led the children of Israel around? There wasn't much there, was there? No. Oh, look, gosh, oh, it's on fire. God's moving. Praise God, He's moving, right? Yeah. So let's not worry about what's taking place out there. Let's worry about what's taking place in here and making sure it lines up and we don't get lured away by that other stuff. Let's not get lured. Amen. And of course, why are we set apart? One word. Emet. Truth. We are set apart because we know the truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. It is for their sakes that I sanctify myself, so that they too may be sanctified by what? By the truth." What does God's word say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Yeah, there's freedom in the truth. And who is the way? Yeshua. Who is the truth? Yeshua. Who is the life? Yeshua. Yeah. And so, because He is truth, we need to be sanctified. And a lot of people don't understand what that word means. Sanctified, or the process of sanctification, is to be set apart for holiness. You know, we've got the Ten Commandments, and those are all the things regarding righteousness. You know, if you lie to somebody, that's a sin. Okay? Bottom line. It only takes one of those. Right? It only takes one sin. The wages of sin, singular, is death. That's what Romans tells us. But God, even beyond that, He gives us 603 additional commandments in the Tanakh, and another 484 in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. And these are things regarding holiness. How we can draw close to God. How we can set ourselves apart. And you know, when it comes to those things of holiness, those of you who are close to me know that, you know, those laws of holiness, it's basically dependent upon the Holy Spirit, what He's telling you to do. And I think of kosher because that's always a big debate in a messianic synagogue. To eat kosher or to not eat kosher? And at what level do we eat kosher? You know, I've heard some crazy terms like, there's rabbinical kosher, there's biblical kosher, there's, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. Guess what? Regardless, eating kosher is a holiness issue. And what does the Holy Spirit tell you to do in your heart? What are you supposed to do? I know there's some here that, you know, eat kosher. They don't mix their meat and dairy together. And, you know, I don't think anyone's like orthodox rabbinically, you know, kosher, which means if you have something that has dairy in it, you actually wait a complete day and then you have something that has meat in it. But I do know that there's those that separate their meat and dairy. And that's fine. And then there's some who just like, oh, Dave, did you have bacon and eggs this morning? And he covers himself with a tallit. That's hilarious. But yeah, you know what? But guess what? Does that mean that God's not going to move in Dave's life as much as He's going to move in my life? No, because this is the holiness issue. And it all depends upon what God wants us to do. And guess what? Now you guys know that Dave and I joke around about this because we know where each other stands. But I mean, you didn't see on the, you know, when you sign in for our guest or, you know, for any of our information things, do you ever see a checkbox say, you know, how do you eat? Kosher, unkosher, biblical? You know, we don't care about that, right? I mean, when we have a potluck, yeah, we always eat where, you know, the rabbi always, you know, because he loves meat so much, declares it's meat day, no dairy, you know, no shellfish, any of that stuff. So that way those who are keeping kosher, like the scripture says, won't be offended. And those who aren't going to say, hey, wait, you know, well, this is kosher, this is not bad. Trust me, my wife is the queen of kosher cooking. Yeah. How many of you guys had a muffin this morning? Yeah, they're good, huh? Yeah, did you guys save any for her? Are they all there? There might be one or two left. Yeah, my wife's a great kosher cook. But really, the point is here, is we shouldn't be focusing on kosher and all this other stuff. But we do need to make sure that our hands are not defiled with murder. And that we were sanctified. We're set apart to do what God wants us to do. And we're striving for the holy thing. And we're open enough to the Holy Spirit where if He says, hey, I need you to minister and you need to keep kosher, that it's like, okay, not a problem. Or, hey, I need you to minister for me, and the Holy Spirit says, I need you to do A, B, and C. You say, sure, I'm all over it. Because you notice the Holy Spirit never says, I need you to do these things so you can work your way to heaven. It's always to draw closer to what God wants. And sometimes it's a test in obedience. He wants to see if you're going to follow him in the little thing before he brings in the big thing, right? Amen? Yeah, that's what he does. And we're set apart for the truth. We are sanctified for the truth. We are declared righteous before God because of the truth of who Yeshua Jesus is. And we need to remember that. You know, the next thing we see in Yeshua's prayer is that he doesn't want any division in the assembly. Just like there's no division between him and the Father. John 17:23 says, I am in them and you are in me. May they be completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, the reason for unity is to show the lost world the love of Yeshua amongst us. And it's kind of a sad commentary because people put labels on themselves. Oh, I'm part of this denomination. Or I'm part of that denomination. Oh, we're a non-denomination. Oh, we can't love you because, you know, your worship service starts at 10:30 and God says that we're supposed to start at 10. That's it. We're cutting you off. Is that what God wants? No, he says, let there be no division among you. And he's praying against that because really, honestly, people get too focused on their divisions. You know, I remember hearing some stories. And you guys know I've got a good friend who's a Southern Baptist pastor from Louisiana, Bubba. And I hear some of the things, and he's just like, "Oh, you know, it's like, oh, Bubba, pray for me. What's going on, brother?" Well, these dang people, we didn't put Southern Baptist on the VBS flyer, and they're just throwing a fit. I'm like, oh, really? So God wants us to get saved and become Southern Baptist? Or does God want us to come saved and have their name inscribed in the book of life? He goes, I know, Bubba. We didn't put it on there, and praise God, because more people showed up than normal. Yeah. And let's think about that. When we put labels on ourselves, it limits. It limits people. Well, I'm this type of believer. I'm that type of believer. I follow the teachings of this person. I follow the teachings of that person. No! I follow the teachings of God that He shows us in His Word for Yeshua HaMashiach. And I don't care what you call me. Just follow God and call upon the truth. Call upon Him. Because I'm sick and tired of all this stuff happening. Well, Rabbi, aren't you causing division? Kind of offended when you teach. Well, guess what? The gospel is a stumbling block and offense. So as long as I teach what God's opinion is, people are going to get offended. And we just need to remember that if they're offended by what's being taught, we just need to pray for them that they get over it soon. Because the sooner they get over it, you know, you crazy messianics, come on in. The water's fine. It's great here. God's moving here. Yeah. And that's what it's about. But Rabbi, I like to have a title on myself, okay? Chief of sinners, that's what the Apostle Paul called himself. You want that title too? I'll take it. I've made mistakes. That's a good title. Because when we realize that we are the chief of sinners, we realize how much important it is to have the grace of God upon us and how much Jesus really loves us. Yeah. Amen, right, brother? Yeah. That's what we need to be going after. And you know what? And God has called us to the restoration business, and part of that is reaching out to others. Well, you know, hey, I'm a Methodist. Well, come see the Jewish method for a while and take the love of Yeshua back with you. Yeah, exactly. I'm an Episcopalian. Oh, a lot of liturgy. Come learn some Hebrew prayers and take them back with you, you know? I'm non-denominational. You'll fit in just fine because Jesus said, let there be no denomination amongst you. Come on in. Because if our names are inscribed in the book of life, how do they know that we're the disciples? By our love for one another. And let's not allow any of those walls to be put up anymore. Because honestly, we don't care where people are coming from and what labels they used to have. Really what matters is where they're going to. And making sure there's no division between them and God. And everything else is superficial. Amen? Amen. Yeah. The next thing that we see here comes from chapter 18. And I love this. Because a lot of people, a lot of those who deny the Godhood of Yeshua. Fail to look at this passage of Scripture. Yeshua told them, because they said, who are you? What did Yeshua say? I am. And they backed away and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, who is it you're looking for? And they said, Yeshua from Nazareth. And he says, I told you that I am. So if you're looking for me, let these men go. Little translation note here. When we look at the Greek text, ego eimi is what it says in the Greek. And I love the Greek for this reason. We have the Septuagint. The Septuagint was written by Jews, Hebrews, who were experts in the Scriptures and the Torah. And they gave us what ego eimi means. Ego eimi is the same. It's the Greek equivalent when Moses said at the burning bush to God, who should I say sent me? And he says, tell me I am sent you. Yahweh sent you. All eternal sent you. And so when Yeshua makes this statement and he says, I am, what happened? See what happens? They fell to the ground. You know, in my 40 years of existence, I've never had somebody come to me and say, hey, are you Jim Woodcock? And I say, yeah, I am. And then they fell over. That's never happened. Has anyone, Richard, has anyone ever come to you and say, are you Richard Lewis? You said, yeah, I am. And they fell over.
I'd rather not say.
Oy vey. Hebrew sentences later. But yeah, what happened here is we see that Yeshua Jesus revealed that he was God and showed him, along with his statement of I am, showed his glory to them. And they fell over backwards because every knee will bow, right? There's no way they could stand up in the presence of God. This proves, once again, Yeshua Jesus is God. There is no doubt here. Yeah. And of course, we have to remember that once found, we can't get lost. There was this teaching by this guy named Joseph Arminius, and he teaches that nobody can stay saved, but you have to get saved every day. And those who follow the teachings of Arminius, you see people getting saved every week at those type of Arminius-type churches. Many Nazarene churches are this way, and some of the Greek Orthodox, I think, have a tendency to go this direction. You'll have to double-check me on the Greek Orthodox. But they say, hey, you know what? You can lose your salvation. But what does Jesus say here? One of the many scriptures that says that once found, we cannot get lost. Because, what does the scripture say? I did not lose a single one of those that you gave me. Yeah. And so the adversary might be trying to put junk in your head, but guess what? When your name's inscribed in the book of life, and when you do something wrong, God doesn't take out an eraser and take it out. Now the scripture does say that if we choose to continue living in a life of sin, once our name has been inscribed, that we can lose all the blessings and all the rewards that God wants to give us when it comes to the day of judgment. We do show up empty-handed, and oh, how embarrassing that's going to be, right? Because we knew. But praise God that once we get saved, God's word says that we are saved. And how do we know when a person's saved? You shall know them by their fruits. It's not just saying a prayer and getting your name up on a chalkboard or, you know, your name printed in the bulletin or, yeah, I said the prayer. You will know them. And we talked last week about what? Flesh fruits as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. So if they say, yeah, I'm a believer, and they run around and they're lying, they're cheating, they're adulterous, they're slandering, they're making stuff up, they're rebellious. You know, witchcraft, rebellion, those two things go together, right? They're doing all these things. Well, guess what? God's word says if they're producing that type of fruit, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They might have said some words, but there really wasn't a heart change there. And so that's just kind of a little clarification. But once somebody has truly made that commitment to the Messiah and we see fruit of that, we see the love and the joy and the peace of God, once it's done, it's done, it's over. And Yeshua will never lose you. Now, we also have to remember that he went on to continue and says that I'm not going to forsake you like orphans. I will come back. Yeah. God promises that we will never be left alone and we won't be orphaned. And many times we struggle, oh, where is God? He's there. Remember that poem from the 80s, Footprints? There were two footprints along the beach, and then things got crazy. There was only one footprint. Where'd you go, God? And God's like, I'm carrying you. Praise God. Consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. I don't know about happiness. I don't get happy when I'm like, oh, hey, yay, we're broke again, Crystal. We're starving. Yay. But there is joy because it never fails when there's a knock at the door. Or there's sometimes when I've just gone out in the morning to, you know, which way the wind blows, see what's going on. And I practically trip because somebody leaves me a box of food at my doorstep. Yeah, it's so neat how God always works. So I don't stress about that kind of stuff anymore. Because I know as a servant, He knows where my next meal is coming from. He knows how my next bill is going to get paid. He knows what's going on. And as long as I continue to love Him and do the things that He wants, servant doesn't have to worry about this kind of stuff, right? Yeah, really important. And so with that, we need to remember that we're not to react outside the will of God. Didn't Simon Peter act outside the will of God? What did he do? Oh, attack, sword, ear! Yeah, exactly. He took off this guy's ears. Malchus, he took his ears off. And what did Yeshua do? He healed him and said, Peter, it's not my will. This is not what's going on. Because God knows best. And what did Yeshua say? Hey, put your sword back in the sheath. Shouldn't I drink the cup that God the Father has given me? And what cup is that? It's that third cup, that cup of redemption that we drank during Passover, right? We've got the four cups. That third cup is the cup of redemption. It's only by what He did on the cross, how He shed His blood for us, that we are redeemed. And to really understand that, this is a deep study, but understanding that redemption comes through God, and He knows what's best. Because trust me, how many of you really enjoy living out here where it's like 100 degrees in the middle of the day? Yeah, Bill's like, oh, feel like snow and mountains. And something to shoot at with horns that he can cook over the fire later on. And he's like, oh, God, why didn't you call me to a hunting lodge? But you know, God had some work. Because there's people here that we need to touch. There's people here that we need to talk to. You know, when Crystal and I first moved into the area, it's just like, oh, God, we miss the beach. We miss 70 degrees. Yeah, we miss, you know, getting home from work and, you know, I get home from work at 3:30 and hop on my bicycle and we'd be down at the beach like 15 minutes later. Just downhill shot right down the Santa Ana River Trail, right there to Huntington, where the waves are nice. Yeah, and the weather's cool and everything's great and your friends and family and relatives are there and all that. And God's just like, oh, I'm sending you to Elsinore area. Why? I used to joke around, can anything good come from Elsinore? Yeah, exactly. And then what was God's response? You know what? There's none righteous, no, not one. But it doesn't matter where they're coming from, it matters where they're going to. And if you're going to be my servant, you need to be happy with where I've called you. And it's so neat to see that Crystal and I have, you know, God really had to take away a whole bunch of things so that as His servants, the things that God has blessed us with, that we can give all the credit to Him. Because we started off just living in a little travel trailer. And then going step up to a studio apartment that even the landlord knew this place was crazy. He called it the Bates Hotel, if you guys have ever watched the movie Psycho. He used to joke around, that was his property. They listed it as the Bates because it was just crazy. And, you know, Witch's Coven just a couple of doors down into all sorts of craziness. And then we moved to a small house and, you know, oh, this is great. And, you know, same landlord. And he was a believer. He says, Jim, you know, this house has a pool. You can't afford it, but I'm going to give you this great rate. So I want you to have a lot of young people over and tell them, you know, teach them the gospel. And it's going to be hot and it's going to be crazy here. And there was like, if you went one street over, they'd shoot at you because you weren't of the same ethnic persuasion they were. It was crazy where we lived. But you know what? God moved and we needed to minister there. And then God says, okay, a little step up. You're moving to Menifee. Okay, Baruch Hashem. But it's not the beach. And you know what God says? He says, you need to go where I'm working. You need to be where I'm working. And that's what a servant does. It's servant doesn't kvetch, doesn't complain. Oh God, it's hot. Well, yeah, you know what? Today is the perfect day that you can tell your neighbor, hey, you think it's hot now? Can you imagine what hell's going to be like? Yeah, think about it. Man, it stinks today, and it's hot. Oh, you think it's hot and stinky here? Why don't you try hell? Sulfur and burning flesh and, you know, oh. So let me tell you some good news. I found the way, the truth, and the life. You can come to the Father through Him. His name is Yeshua Jesus. Yeah, let's use these things. Let's use these things to follow what God has. And remember, we're not to be conformed to this world. What does Romans 12:2 says? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Yeah. So that you may be able to determine what? What God's will is. What is proper, what is pleasing, and what is perfect. Yeah. God's will. What God's will is. And that's where we've got His Word. We renew our mind with the Bible. By putting God's Word, running the Scriptures through. You know, hey, we've got this scenario here. Well, we can do option A, we can do option B, or we can do option C. No, 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 no. What is God's plan for this? He doesn't have options. We have choices. We can choose to do what God says, or we can choose one of our own plans. But I tell you this, as His servants, when we choose to do what He wants us to do, there's some benefits there, I tell you. Hazel's eyes just got big. She's like, start thinking of some miracles that she's experienced, and she knows that we've experienced them as well. When we are obedient to God and choose His plan, there are miracles that take place. I've seen them in my life. Trust me. I'll just share just one quick testimony of this. I remember one time working in a house of worship, and there was this guy who was just going through all these problems and everything, and we were, you know, just, hey, I got to come alongside this brother. And I'm like, oh, well, what does God want you to be obedient to? How long have you been a believer and all this stuff? Started talking to him, come to find out that he'd been obedient. I'm like, oh, you know, okay, so you accepted the Lord, yeah. Have you taken the next step? Have you had that mikvah? Just to, if anything, just to clean the junk off you spiritually, symbolically. Nah, I don't need to do that. And so, you know, God just really impressed upon my heart. That's why I'm here, is to share this with you. That you need to know the truth of what God wants for you as His servant. Nah, it's okay. So about 6 months go by, and get this phone call. Hey, we got to hurry up and get this guy a mikvah. Why? What's going on? Well, he just got back from the doctor yesterday, and they said, get all your affairs in order, because on Monday you're having surgery, and you have a 95% chance of dying because of the cancer that is all throughout your body. I go, whoa, that's heavy. Yeah, this guy says, well, he caught it. I need to be obedient to God. So what happens over the weekend? We have the mikvah. He has his mikvah. We pray for him. He gets everything ready. He gets his will in order. He's got everything in order. He's ready to go. He's ready to die. He said goodbye to everybody. He goes in, and the surgery that was supposed to only be a few hours, they spent over 8 hours with a couple of different doctors looking for the cancer because it was completely gone. And that's from obedience. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. And so sometimes, yes, we're going to have some physical struggles. And just because somebody, you know, oh, you got cancer, oh, you must be a sinner. No. But when a servant knows that they need to be obedient to the things of God, and they turn their back on God's Word, and they turn their back on being obedient to God, they want to do it their own way, that's when God says, okay, fine, you want to do it your own way? I can't help you. I can't protect you. I cannot bless you. But you don't understand my circumstances, Rabbi. I don't care about your circumstances. What does God say to do? Right? What does God say to do? Because what I care about is that if you are in the center of God's will, I'm receiving all the blessings that He has for you. Because everything that He has for you is perfect. Everything that He has for you is what is best, not only for you, but also for the furtherance of His kingdom. So let's knock this stuff off of what we think, and let's care about what God thinks through His Word. Really? Yeah. That's what it's all about. Amen? And trust me, it breaks my heart to see some people going, well, you know what, I know that God's word says to do this, but I'm not going to do it. And I go, wow. Wow. I can't believe that, because rebellion is just the sin of witchcraft. And then it never fails. Like 6 months later, you know, they either show up, you know, Rabbi, man, things have just been so horrible. Where is God? I don't believe that God doesn't exist because he doesn't hear my prayer. Well, you're still doing that stuff? Well, yeah. Quit doing that stuff, because Isaiah 59 says if you've got sin in your heart, God cannot hear your prayer. He's not going to allow you to go around and live like hell all weekend, you know, all week long, and then show up on Sabbath and say a Baruch Hashem and expect his hand to do mighty things for you. God does not work that way. We have to be obedient as his servants. Amen? And that's the important thing. And so, with that, our litmus test is right here. Our litmus test is the Word of God. Our litmus test for our brothers and sisters. Yes, we're not supposed to judge, the Scripture says, lest we be judged, which means that God's going to hold us to the same standard. Well, guess what? His standard tells us, what did we talk about last week? That we are supposed to be in the fruit inspection business. And we start with ourselves. We run our lives through Galatians 5 and says, hey, are these flesh fruits? Are these the deeds of the flesh? Are we seeing the fruit of the Spirit? Because that's important, right? And if we know, okay, well, hey, I've got rid of the flesh fruit. I'm doing the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe this person's having a problem with the flesh fruit. So what do we do in response to that? Do we go out there and do we lift them up as sinners and pagans? Do we make fun of them? Do we give them a hard time? No. We come alongside them to try to restore them so that they can return to the land of blessing. Amen? There's a mighty rushing wind in this place. I think the Spirit's moving. Who's not open to the Holy Spirit right now? Get it over with so that'll stop, okay? He's trying to come in. Praise God. Praise God. Well, hey, that's okay. It's just plastic. Amen. Amen. God is on the move. So here's the challenge. My first challenge question is, have you gone beyond recognizing Yeshua as Messiah in your life? Have you gone beyond just saying, yeah, Yeshua is God? You know, I remember one time Carol and I, and I think Richard was with us, we were out on Carol's sailboat, and we were listening to a guy on the radio, and he's just like, oh, you know, you may know that he is God, and you may know that he is Lord, but is he your God? Is he your Lord? And that's one thing we have to remember. Have you gone beyond just recognizing that Jesus is God, but is he your God? Is he your Lord? That's the most important thing we can deal with here, right? Yeah. Second thing I want you to consider is, are you living out your walk as a believer, as a lost orphan? Or are you living the abundant life that God promises you? Remember, the thief has come to what? Steal, to kill, and destroy. Yeah. He wants to steal those blessings. He wants to kill anything that's of God. He wants to destroy you and destroy things of God in your hearts and in your lives. That's what he wants. But God says, hey, you are not orphans. I have come to give you abundant life. Are you doing the things that's going to allow God to give you the abundant life that he wants to? And remember, if we're not his servants, he can't give those things to us, right? If we're not living our lives the way that we need to. And I know it's not, it's you know, well, Rabbi, isn't God all about love and, you know, cake and ice cream? No, there's some hard lessons that are there. There are. But that's because the truth is what sets us free. Amen? Amen. The third question is, who is in control of your life? If there's a lot of I statements when you say something, well, I did this, and I, that's usually kind of an indicator of what's going on. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. I believe in this, and I, no. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. I know, this is the United States. Everyone gets a vote in this country, right? Everyone's opinion matters. We all have Facebook where we can tell the world what we think, and if not, we can tweet it or whatever it's called. Yeah. I can find myself on YouTube. Why?
Because it's all about you.
You know, no, it's not. It's all about Him. Yeah, it's important to remember that. And so, that's the huge question, is that we need to ask, who's in control? Are you in control of your life? Or is God in control of your life? Is God's Word in control? Are you making your decisions based upon your opinions? Yeah, it's important to remember that and to reflect on that. And the fourth thing here is we have to remember that God's plan has been in place for all eternity. Think about it. When Yeshua was in the garden, He was praying for me and you, because this is all part of His plan. And you know, I think of that great book, Experiencing God, where when we recognize what God's plan is, we go and we join Him there. Right? But you don't understand, Rabbi. God wants to do a work in my life. And that means that I get to do it where I want to do it because it's mine. No! How many of you guys have ever seen any of these movies, you know, like, you know, you see like the rich person with the butler or the servant or anything, and does the butler ever sit there and go, you know, the master of the house goes, I need you to make my bed, and the butler says, no, it's not time to make the bed, it's time for me to go watch, you know, my soap operas. Does he ever do that? No. He goes and makes the bed, right? Or he hops into the car with the chauffeur driving it and says, it's time, take me to work this morning. And does the chauffeur say, no, you don't understand, there's other cars on the road and they make me afraid. I'm afraid of cars. No. They turn on the engine, they put it in drive, they say, good morning, sir, they close the door, and then they drive off. That's what God wants for us. And sometimes as a servant, we have to stand there and wait, right? And one of the sad things is that in our waiting, we get anxious and we start to think, oh, maybe God wants me to go over here. Maybe God wants me to go over there. No, God wants us to stay where we're at sometimes, just to wait. But you don't understand, Rabbi. The grass is greener. That's where the abundant life is. I've got to go to the green grass. Okay, I'm pointing over the hill. I'm not pointing to the brown hill just right in front of us. I'm pointing over it. San Clemente, okay? The grass is greener on the other side of the Ortegas. That's where God wants me to work, where there's green grass. No, He places His servants where He places His servants. And guess what? When we follow Him, He will lead us to the green pastures, right, of His Word. Lead us to the green pastures of His will. Beside the still waters where there's peace. He'll restore our soul, will He not? Yeah. He leads us where? In the paths of righteousness. You mean it's not okay to start a ministry based upon lies? No, of course not. I heard somebody teaching one time that if you're sharing the gospel, it's okay to lie to a person to get them into the kingdom of God. And I'm like, oh, I looked at my wife and we both blew a gasket saying, no. Because the truth is what sets us free, right? No, let's not live this stuff anymore. Let's be done. Because guess what? God's plan has been in place since He spoke the first words, let there be. His plan has been in place. And all that He asks for us is to partner with Him and His plan. We can be a part of God's work. And here's the really cool thing about this. When we're part of the work of God, who's doing the work? Is it us? No. Many times we're just the body just showing up. The mouth going, and all the stuff starts coming out of it. And there's been times it's like all the mouth goes, and this verse comes out, and look at my wife, and she goes, I didn't know you had that one memorized. And I says, I didn't know I had that verse memorized either. But God brings all things to remembrance, right? And His job is like no other job on this earth. We show up. We partner with where He's moving. Sometimes we're the mouthpiece. Sometimes we're the intercessor. Sometimes we're just there showing up in faith and standing in the gap. We go with the love of God, right? We take the love of God and we go forward. He does the work, and then we get a bonus check. I mean, how many of you guys would like a job, and I know I've talked about this before, where you show up, your boss does all the work, you get the check, and then, you know, and you go home. Bill's like, oh, if only the school districts were that way. Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. But that's really what kingdom work is all about. And guess what? Remember, we are all called to be in full-time ministry. We have jobs because we're there to minister to the people that are there. Well, I'm thinking about quitting my job. Well, has God told you to leave? Well, no. Has God provided another job? Oh, not yet. I need to step out in faith. No, you don't. You need to step out when God says it's time to step out. And until that time, you better hurry up and start witnessing to people. First of all, starting with your own testimony of how you conduct your life. But you don't understand. I said something the other week that was kind of offensive to this guy. Yeah, I do understand. Go back and show him what a real believer is all about and apologize and be done with it. Because guess what? That apology sometimes is the one thing that makes them realize, oh goodness, this guy really does love me. This guy's a real one. I need to follow what he's doing. And it's not saying, hey, follow me, but say, let me show you who to follow. Let's follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I know I've got a couple minutes long, but we just kind of need to reflect about what God's doing here.